So, well, you're a preacher. You're supposed to.
Well, good.
You learned something along the way. You know, so many times we
hear all these things and we look all this stuff that's going on, and I agree with the men and that which God's already given us and shown us from the Word of God that there is evil in this day. Well, what concerns me is not so much the evil, but the lack of righteousness in the church. Now, I agree with the other men, and we've made all our disclaimers, and all of us, you know, when we come to these fellowships, we always come in fear and trembling. Brother David said, "Now, don't come correct me, just make me mad." I understand that. Because we know every time you go step on somebody's little hobby horse and get you all upset, you know, well, you didn't correctly dispensationalize that scripture. My friend, all scripture is given for correction, for doctrine, for reproof. It's there for our learning, for our instruction. And so many times we miss those things. It's not that we don't understand those. It's what God's given us to have. It's what we know. So I'm going to take you to Matthew chapter number 16. I've made my disclaimer. Now I'm going to preach what I got to preach. You say, you take it, go with where you want. I understand where I'm at, but I also understand that which God's given us. One of the problems we're having today, folks, is that we think the church is on the defense. God put the church here to build the kingdom of God, to win people to Christ, to take folks to heaven with us. And we got to protect our congregation. Folks, we got to build the congregation. We got to go out those doors and find that little lady sitting there on that doorstep, and she don't have a clue she's lost. She has no idea that she's even looking for God or God's looking for her. Well, you're going to offend them you call sin, sin. If you don't tell them they're in sin, they don't need to get out. That's the problem today. We say, well, it's all this evil. It's not the evil, it's the lack of righteousness. That's what's creating us our problem today. Listen, Christ, as He's getting ready to make this transition, get over here where the church is going to take over, He knows He's getting ready to go to the cross and to the grave and be resurrected and then go back to the Father. Now, I'll give you all your doctrine you need there. You got it, guys. But He says, listen, I'm going to leave the church, and the church better get busy doing what the church is supposed to be doing. That's why we're here. Look, if God just simply wanted to take you to heaven, as soon as you bowed your unworthy head and accepted Christ as your Savior, you'd been gone. The rapture would have happened, folks. But God didn't intend just to save you and get you to heaven. God intended for you to serve Him in this world. And that's where the church has missed its mark. Now, guys, we're sitting here, and the fellows before me have done a much better job than I could have ever done. We know what the devil looks like. We know what his work's doing today. We see it. You say, well, that's in church. No. I live in Marion, Indiana. And I can show you the same thing going on in Marion, Indiana today. You know, 40 years ago when I started this ministry, folks would come to church. If they were living together in sin, they wouldn't let you know it. They'd put two different names on two different cards and put two different addresses down and two different phone numbers. Today they'll come in and they'll put two different names on the same card, the same phone number, the same address, and five kids with five different names on them. We'd like to join your church, preacher. Listen to me. Chapter number 16 of Matthew, verse number 13, very familiar passage of Scripture to us. You know, I'm not, you know, you good folks, you're here on Tuesday morning in a Bible conference. You know what you're going on. I'm not going to read you anything you don't know. Let's see if God can help us just a little bit this morning, would you? When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea of Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that the Son of Man am?" God says there's some different opinions out there, folks. Church, there's some folks that don't know who God is. So, not in the Bible Belt, right in the buckle. Jesus said, you better know there's some folks saying some different things out there. Now, that's not for the babes. That's for those that's got some maturity on them. He's got His disciples with Him getting ready to do the work He's getting them ready to get in the harness and pull the plow. Say, I got to give it to lead them to Christ. I got to teach them. No, I'm going to get them there. Sure, they need it. Somebody said last night, I don't remember which one of the preachers was. Said they may not be able to chew, they may not be able to eat that steak, but they can chew on it a while. Oh, you can't tell. Somebody better tell them this. Jesus did. He said, you better know who you're dealing with. Going down, verse 14. Then said some that thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Now listen to Christ. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Now we can talk about that to the crowd. And a lot of folks are back there in churches, and preachers are doing it all over the land today. We got to play defense. Now, I grew up in the rougher side of town. Most of you folks probably did. I love boxing. Just lay the leather on them, son. And then all these fancy dudes come along, and we're going to do dance and ring. We'll go back up the corner, and we'll just rope-a-dope for a while and protect ourselves. You ain't never going to win in the corner. Now, you ladies won't appreciate this, but you're going to knock his flipping head off. You just go well back and hit him. Get him with a good uppercut and knock his lights out. That's how you win. You don't win against the ropes going, oh, I'll outlast him. That ain't what we're called here to do. We're leaving. Watch that eastern sky. I'm coming. If you're going to hit them, hit them. Stand there and wait for them. Now, there's times you better know, who do they say I am? Okay, watch them now. They're getting ready. Now, when he drops that glove, let them have it. Oh, not preacher. We're loving God and loving others. Just having good fellowship. Folks, nothing wrong with good fellowship. Nothing wrong with singing, and nothing wrong with loving God and loving others, singing songs. But that's not who the church is. God said, who do you say I am? Now listen. Watch me now. Verse 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but the Father which is in heaven. Well, if we just become like them, they'll just appreciate who we are, and they'll see the difference. There ain't no difference in them. Amen. They're saying the same thing about God that all the mystics and all the rest of them are saying. They're saying that these things are the one that brought us here. The Catholics will teach you that it's Peter. It's not Peter. Thou art the Son of God, the living God. Thou art Christ. And God said, you didn't learn that from flesh and blood. You didn't learn it down there just sitting around having tea. You learned it from the Word of God, from God Himself. He taught you some things. He made you a new creature. He put a heart in you that bears witness with His Spirit that you are the children of God. Amen. Folks, we're not like them. You can lay back on them ropes all day long and say, well, I'll figure this out. You ain't going to figure it out. They're deceived. They think he's this one and that one and he's that and he's going to be this and it's going to work this way and we're going to look this way and then it'll all work. No. You must be born again. You must know Christ. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He goes on down here and he lays this thing out now. He says, and I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build the church. And Peter's not the rock. I've already went there, and I'm not going. You know, you're not Catholic. You're not going to be here if you're Catholic today. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Let me get verse 19 in, and then I get try to get out of here. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth, it shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth, it shall be loosed in heaven. Christ is getting ready to send his disciples out to build the church. As soon as he dies upon the cross and raises from the grave, he's going to empower them with the Holy Spirit of God. And they're going to build the church. Folks, we're here today to build the church of Jesus Christ. That's our call. That's what we're doing. And we do that upon Christ, the Son of the living God.
Amen.
That's how it's going to be done. There is only one way. It's God's way. Because there's only one and true living God. And you can read that from Genesis all the way to Revelation. Brother Wells said he reads Revelation every month through. And I'll tell you, young men, you sit down and talk to him, he'll tell you there's a whole lot of that I still ain't got figured out. But I know this, God's got it worked out. God's got a plan. Heard about Job last night and all the work in his life. Said, what in the world's all that mean? What's all those changes happening? Why do we need all this? So Jesus Christ can do a work in our life. There's much I give you. Look over in Jude 1. Well, you know there's only one chapter in Jude, but I don't know why you say that, but we say, your Bible, folks. When I'm home, I got to explain to them, you know, where we're at. But in the book of Jude, he talks to us about all these things that we need to understand. About this work and about this kingdom that God's building and about the keys that we're holding, the authority that we have. Church, we're not second-class citizens.
Amen.
We're children of the King.
Yeah,
we're doing the work of God. Pull back that arm and let them have it. Ladies, step up and speak up for God. We got a bunch of wimps. Well, we just got to hang on. No, you don't. You're on the right side. Your side's winning. I read the last chapter. God's going to be on His throne when this is all said and done.
Amen.
And those who've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ are going to be with Him.
Yeah.
And there ain't no other way that's going to happen. Because He is God. Jude, let me pick it up down there in verse 21. It says, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And some have compassion in making a difference, and others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire and hating, thank you, even the garments spotted by the flesh. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and forever. Amen. So be it. But listen to it. What He's telling you. You know, when we heard Brother Pelkey last night preached about the great love of God. And all these messages all fit in. You know, God's telling us the same thing, folks. Every angle you cut this thing at. But it's not to be playing defense. It's to be doing offense. You're not going to win by standing over in the corner and saying, hey, we got the answer. Come on down. You're going to win because you're going to go out there and get them. He said, some of them you're going to have to drag out of the fire and they're going to just literally be one step from hell. Oh, Oliver B. Green, the great author, the great radio preacher of the past, preached tent meetings all over the country. He used to pray, Lord, save that one nearest. Nearest. You know, well, we'll sit over at the church house and hope God brings some in. He said, some of you are just going to have to snatch them out. You're going to have to find them where they're at, deep. I can't wear my suit down there. Man alive. Those folks don't even understand it. They ain't got the big picture. You're right. You're going to have some of those that you're going down to the jailhouse and win, and they're going to return back to the bar. But buddy, when you get one of them and God gets a hold of them and Jesus Christ saves their wretched soul, it won't be long and he'll be standing in the pulpit. Now he's dry. Now he's clean. Does he know about tracks on the arm? Does he know about all those wretchedness and perverseness? Is he paying a price for it? You better believe it. But God can save him today. See, we want folks that look like us, talk like us, dress like us. Folks, those are Christians. They mean sinners.
Amen.
Sinners aren't going to look like you, dress like you, and talk like you.
Amen.
You get out of the church house, you find out, whoo, this world's in trouble.
Yeah.
We ought to be concerned. Folks, we ought to be brokenhearted. And a lot of that ain't going to come by nothing more than prayer of the Holy Ghost. Preacher preached it right last night. It ain't going because I'm going to go out there and out fool them and give them some philosophy that they ain't never heard of. It's because I'm going to go down there and preach them Jesus Christ, and I'm going to pray for their wretched soul, and the Holy Spirit of God's going to snatch them right back. Say, oh, but preacher, you'll get your hands dirty doing that. You better believe you will. And you'll have some self-righteous hypocrite come by and tell you, well, that ain't no church. You got a bunch of sinners. That's what the church is.
Amen.
Forgiven sinners.
Yeah.
That's been brought back out of the fires of hell.
Amen.
And now they're headed for glory. And that His name be glory forever. Amen. Amen. Church, we've lost perspective of what we're supposed to be doing. We're focusing on the wrong things. We're playing defense instead of putting the leather on their face. And wonder why we're not winning. Well, we live in America. We're a Bible-believing, God-fearing country. I don't know what you've been reading. Where I grew up, we'd ask you what you've been smoking. Because you ain't got no idea what's going on. Have no clue. Say, so, well, 50, folks, we don't live 50 years ago. We live in 2015. Check your phone. It ain't 1940 no more. People aren't being taught about God in the school no more. People aren't praying no more. Politicians aren't serving no more. That's where we're living at today. You know what the hardest thing for us to do at the church house right now where I pastor? Getting people to find their place in Scripture. We got 55... Now, I know some of you are going to ride me out of town, but listen to me. I got 55-inch TVs up here and a 55-inch TV up there, and I got to put up their Scripture references. I got to tell them the book before it and the book after it so they can open their Bible and find out what God's saying to them today. About now 5 or 6 years down the road, we'll get there and they'll be able to get. But I got 40 and 50-year-old people we're winning to Christ that don't know there's 66 books of the Bible.
Yeah.
They can't even find the Old Testament from the New Testament and know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And they live in America, but they never darken the door of a church.
Yeah.
One of them done, and I'm going to respect the time here and get out of here. I got to go. I know there's other things that need to be said and other things need to be done. I'm going to take my time and get out of this thing. But chapter number 1 is 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 1. And you'll find here, that as God speaks to us today, that there's a work to be done. We need to understand where we're at. What's going on around us. How that we need to share that which God's doing in our life. Become the people that God desires us to be. Back in the 70s when I come to Christ, one of my great, great struggles was, first day I walked into and it was a good independent Baptist church. I was chasing some little girl. if her parents had any idea who I was, they should have ran me out of town on a rail, son. But they were gracious enough to me. They said, you can come to her, come with her to church, but she ain't going with you nowhere. Yeah. That was her rule. And I thought she was good looking. I'll go to church. As long as I can go with her. Now, when I left that day after that preacher got done, I ain't never going back. She ain't that good looking. I'd find me another girl. I was one miserable human being.
Amen.
Wrestled with it for a while. Listen, verse number 12, 2 Corinthians 1 and 12. For our rejoicing is this, that the testimony of your conscience, that the simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversations in the world more abundantly to you word. Folks, it's not who you are, but what God's done in you. That's who we are, church. We've got nothing to give anybody but what God's done for us today. To take this blessed book and say, hey, look, God opened up my eyes. Can I show you something over here in Daniel? Do you understand what's happening? Do you know that you go to God in the closet and God will answer you and hear your every cry? Do you know you've got something you can go back to and hold on to? It's not in this flesh. It's not in love, this world. Read John, Gospel of John, chapter number 1, verse 12. Folks, you're not born of this flesh. It's not because you're wiser than somebody else or somebody else sat down and was gracious to you and talked with you and said, do you understand? Oh, yeah, I understand that. Folks, you know, I got to understand it. You got to know this is Christ, the Son of the living God. You got to keep moving forward, Christian. You got to do the work God's called us to do. We're sitting around griping about what the world's doing. And the problem's not the world. The problem's the church is not going forward. We're not reaching the lost for Christ. You know why there's more that are worshiping Satan than there's worshiping God today? Because more is being done for Satan than is being done for God today. Does that make sense to you? We're not moving out there and finding folks and saying, listen, the grace of God will save you today. The grace of God will change your home today. The grace of God will make you a different person. You see, we think somehow it's just going to magically happen. If I just stay in there and preach the Word of God, they'll all show up and say, "Ooh, that's what I need." They have no idea that's who they need today. In fact, what you're preaching is so far from them, they're, wow, that preacher, he's loud, he just hates everybody. Oh, he hates sin.
Amen.
He's got a different agenda. Leave you this. There was a young man back years ago. I read a story of a man that was in the Civil War. He was a bugler. He got killed. His son wanted to carry on his daddy's ministry and work there. And so he went and joined up. And this colonel there of the army said, well, I need to move forward. And he said, I'll let you be the bugle. He said, can you play? He said, yeah, I can play that thing. He said, well, we need to advance. So he said, play the charge. And that young man picked up his bugle, trumpet, whatever you want to call the thing, and picked that thing up and started blowing. And all the troop gathered together and they all moved forward. And it was going well and the commander was well pleased. The enemy made an advance and they made a massive push. And the commander began to get worried and afraid he was having too many casualties. And so he said to the bugler, he said, sound retreat. And the young bugle boy said, sir. He said, no, son, I said, sound retreat. And he said, but he began to try to protest. And the commander said to the bugle boy again, he said, I said, blow that bugle. He started blowing charge. And all the men began to push forward. And they overtook the enemy. Well, the commander was well pleased when it was all said and done. The smoke settled. He walked over to that bugle boy and he said, "Son, I appreciate what you did, but you disobeyed orders. I told you to play retreat." He said, "My daddy taught me to play and he only taught me to play charge." So our problem, church, God's taught us what we ought to be doing, and we're not doing what God's taught us to do today. God bless you, church. It's all yours.